The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't know how to shout, you probably ought to leave. You know, this is not a good sermon for you to hear. You know, but if you got a little bit of shout in you, this will be your opportunity to use it today. All right? Let me hear you shout a little bit. All right, that sounds good. I don't have to preach now. That's good enough. Okay, we're going to continue our series that God reminds us to remember. In other words, don't forget. Am I up here yet, Jim? No, I'm coming, though. This is point at me when you got it going, and I'll know what's up in front of me. We've been using this a text from Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. God said, don't forget. And remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent, or turn back to God, the message says. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Now, I was in a Bible study this week, and the thought came to me, and I had mentioned to the group that in the book of Hosea, it's one of the few places you see God get ticked off at regular folks, at the folks. And he said, you know what really irritates me? He said, I cause all these blessings to come into your life, the rain, the sun, the goodness of life. And he lists this whole thing, litany of things that he's done. He said, you don't even know it's me. You know, I mean, the fact you get up, move around, have your being, just it's time to us to say, God, thank you for who we are. I mean, you look around this world and just be thankful for where we are and who we are. So at any rate, we've covered a lot of things so far. We've talked about remember what you've received from God, who you are in Christ. Remember that people need you. We need one another. Remember to live your life. Don't waste what you got. Enjoy every moment of it. And then last week we talked about to give like you're rich. And today we're going to go into talking about Jesus, one of my favorite subjects. In fact, my favorite subject, I guess, And God said, don't forget, come on. Get up there on the computer, catch up with me. Remember why Jesus showed up. You got to remember that. Sometimes we forget, and we're going to talk about that today. John 10, 9 through 10. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. Has the thief been working in your life? Is he stealing and robbing you? I mean, that's his job. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Destroy your dreams, destroy your hopes, destroy your health, destroy your faith in God. That's his job. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Wow, that's a good promise for us to work with. Pat has a thing that she says quite often. She said, God did not come into the world to make bad people good. He came into the world to make dead people alive. Make dead people alive. That's what Jesus came here to do. The vast volumes of theology throughout the world seem to forget that I've come that you might have life to the full or abundantly. This says to the full. I kind of like that. Gives us a better picture. It's when something overflows, a life that overflows. Jesus didn't have to do a lot of the things that he did when he was here on the planet. He didn't have to heal the sick. He didn't have to, but he did. You know, he didn't have to cast out any demons, but he did. And in fact, he didn't have to feed the multitude. We spoke about that last week, but he did. But the one thing that Jesus had to do, otherwise it was just a waste of time, is he had to give you eternal life. And he did. You know, without life, there's nothing. Think about that for a minute. I was going to give a demonstration, but some of you animal lovers wouldn't let me do it. I was going to bring an ant in here. An ant. A-N-T, one of them little things. Not your ant, but an ant. And I was going to put it on the pulpit here and let him just kind of run around. And then I was just going to smash him. Kill him. Just murder a little booger. And you know, I thought about that. I said, well, they would, everybody would be crying if I did that. But you know, that life would just go away. That little ant that was born to its mama, you know, and was running around doing ant stuff, he would cease to exist. And that's where we were. We're like an ant that got smashed. Death had entered into the world, and we were dead. The problem wasn't that we were sinning. That was a symptom of the problem. The problem is that we were dead. And he didn't come here to change us and give us a behavior modification program. He tried that, by the way. It's called the Ten Commandments and the Law. That's the behavioral modification program. And it works so well. Duh. Even God had to go back to the drawing board. You know, that didn't work at all. Nobody kept it. Nobody could do it. But what he did was he gave us new life. And in that new life, our behavior changes. In that new life, our thinking changes. In fact, we change. We become something new that we were not before. So today, what we're going to do is I'm going to start a little mini-series within a series. I couldn't cover this in one sermon, so I'm going to cover it in about maybe three or four sermons about why Jesus came. And to remember, we're going to talk about why he came, what he did, what he accomplished, and when he will return. Okay, so that's what's ahead of us. So let's just talk about this subject a little bit. And remember that Jesus showed up to show us his Father. That's what he did. He showed us a different way of looking at God. John 1:14. The Word became flesh. What word was that? You know what that word was? It's what God said. Through the prophets, through the Psalms. It's what, from the beginning, when all the things that God said, that Word of God, that spoken word, became life. And we see it in the flesh, who is Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Remember that name? He will be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. All right, so God was going to be here, not in the heavens, not in the stars, not in some imagination, but God was going to be here, and he came in the flesh. We have seen his glory, God's glory in the flesh, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. When Jesus showed up, he swept back the curtain of eternity into the kingdom of God to reveal the glory of God the Father. Remember when Moses went up on the mountain? And God said, somebody said the other day, God actually gave him three tablets. And when Moses came down and he said, and God said to give you these 15, and he dropped one of them and it broke. He said, God said to give you these 10 commandments. They were originally 15, but he broke it, so there was only 10 left, and that's what he did. But no, Moses, God told Moses, look out, Moses, don't bring anybody up here. Anybody even gets close, if they touch this mountain, they're going to die. They cannot come here to me. And Moses said, well, I want to see you. He said, no, you cannot see my glory. You cannot see me. You can't stand it. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do, though. You know, I'll stick you in a cleft of a rock. That's another sermon. That's a picture of Jesus. And he said, I'll pass by in the background, and you can see that. Well, that glory of God that I'm getting ahead of myself, but we see in that picture was superseded by a glory that we could see. And it's the glory of God as seen in his Son as he brought to us the picture of his Father. Man fell, and the glory of God became hidden. There was a glory of God that was seen in the garden that we had not seen before Christ came. Remember that Adam and Eve were there? That was a nice place. They enjoyed it. They had things to do. They had food to eat. Everything they needed was there. And God would visit with them and have that personal interaction. They saw and interacted with the glory of God. Well, when they fell off the precipice of history and started that great slide down into darkness and death, it said, when sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. Prior to that time, nothing ever died, okay? So, the glory that God had, man couldn't see, and he didn't see. Now, God let us see his life in Jesus to help us remember what the glory that was gone really was. If we could do this, and I wouldn't recommend doing it, but if we could do it, if we could build, you've seen that TV program, I don't watch it because it's stupid, but it's called the Dome, and they got this dome over all these people, and it's an invisible dome, but if you touch it, it kind of, bounces them back. Well, if you could build a dome around this building, and we had a giant suction machine, and we sucked all the oxygen out of this place, you would die. I mean, we use that expression all the time, something sucked the oxygen out of the room. You suck the oxygen out of this room, you got about, if you can hold your breath, if you're really good, you might be able, none of you could do it for 3 minutes. Looking around, I got about 45 seconds at the most. And you're going to go. It's going to go. You'll be like a guppy, that just jumped out of a bowl. You're going to be dead. That's exactly what happened. All the oxygen got sucked out. All the life got sucked out. All of the glory of God got sucked out of humanity. And we were dying. But worse than that, we were dead. Dead as a guppy, laying on the side of the fish boat. No life and no way to get life. The life that God had given to man through breathing into the nostrils of Adam, disappeared. It was gone. Some say, well, if God took away life, how come they still walked around for a while? He wasn't talking about physical life. He was talking about spiritual life. And it's obvious because if it was physical life, he would have died right at that moment. And he didn't die right at that moment. He lived for several hundred years. Longer than you want to live, I think. I don't know, but that's another story. But the Word became flesh, and Father's eternal life was manifest once again in Christ. Not the glory of Sinai. There was a glory that took place there. The law has a glory. But it was a fading glory. And what did people think of God prior to Jesus? Fear. He's an angry God. And he showed himself angry a couple of times. I'm telling you, it's not a pretty picture. When you see people getting wiped out and, just terrible things taking place. And God was in all that. And that's the picture we see of God. He was in clouds and he was in thunder. He was make you tremble. Jesus showed up and showed the glory of God in a new and a fresh and a revealing way. He had life. As Scripture said, the Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. The glory of the only of one, the one and only Son. So if you want to know what God's like, don't go looking at what took place in the Old Testament, although there are a lot of good things we can learn. If you want to know what is God like, you got to go to Christ. You got to see him. You got to watch what he did. You got to listen to what he said, because in him we see the glory of God. One of the things that just torqued the religious community, because Jesus said that he was the Son of God, that God was his Father. Nobody had, Israel didn't have that idea. You know what their idea of Father was? Father Abraham. because he was the beginning of their race, of the Israeli race, where the promises of God were. But that's the only father they had. And God, through Christ, said, he is our father. We can be his children. We can have that kinship with him. But not a kinship of the flesh. Abraham was a kinship of the flesh. We have a kinship of the Spirit in Christ. Do you see that? There's a big difference. Jesus is called the last Adam. He's referred to as the second Adam. The first Adam brought death into the world. The second Adam, the last Adam, Christ, brought life into the world. He put the oxygen back in the room. He took the dead guppy, blew some life into that baby, and stuck him back in the little fishbowl so he could swim around. That's what you are. You're a living guppy. You were dead, but you were made alive in Christ. There's a greater glory. Somebody ought to be shouting. This is good news. Amen. You were dead. How dead were you? You were dead enough to pop and sizzle in hell for all eternity. That's how dead you were. You were so dead that you could never, ever see God. Eternal separation from God. You want to know what hell's like? Don't worry about the flames. Don't worry about the smoke. Don't worry about the devil being there. Don't worry about all the evil that's there. Worry about this. Eternal separation from life. Because the only place you find life is in God, because he is life. And the only way to get life is from him. David Jeremiah was talking about something that a similar story. He's saying about people get upset because we say there's only one way to God. Only one way. You must be born again. He said, nobody has any trouble believing that you can only be born one way. You know, with all the stuff they're coming up with, they still got to have life to make life. Test tube babies and all. You got to have life to make life. There's only one way to get life. That's from the previous life in the physical realm. And there's only one way to get spiritual life, because life is in God. And the only way to get it is from Christ, who gave life to all men who will believe in him. Don't be embarrassed about that. People say, well, you can, as long as you're sincere, you can believe. The guppy believed he'd sincerely be okay outside the fishbowl. That's why he jumped out. But he didn't make it, did he? And the only way you're going to live for eternity is in Jesus Christ. That's where the life comes from. John 3:16, those who believe in him will have eternal life. Now, you got that?
Yes.
Now, Jesus showed us a new way to look at God the Father. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but one of the reasons I like the movie The Shack, if you haven't seen The Shack, go see The Shack. What I like about it more than anything else, it just stretches your blooming imagination and makes you get out of your comfort zone. Who would have believed that God would be a black woman? I mean, you know, that'll just freak you out. You know, especially down here in the South where a lot of old biases hang around. You think the white supremacists would go nuts at that movie? The ones who are going nuts up in Virginia? That's a bunch of nutcases, by the way. And they need to be locked up somewhere really dark and dangerous and get saved. But there is this thing about seeing God differently. He's not Grandpa. He's not with Da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci, that great Italian guy. He is a good guy, by the way. Painted some nice pictures on the wall. That's not God. I don't know. They're pretty pictures, but it's not God. God is life, and nobody knows how to paint life. And if you want to find life, you got to find it in Jesus Christ. And it's what happens to people when they're born again. When Christ comes into their life, they change. And they're different. That's life. It's the guppy breathing again. And happy. You ever see a guppy come back to life? Put him in a bowl? You think that's a happy guppy or what? Yeah, of course. That's what happens to you. You have this life in you, and you change, and you see joy in going to see an old man. How in the world does somebody in that shape know you, A, and two, sing a song to you? I mean, that is amazing. That's an amazing story. It's what God can do. And only God can do. Life that's in us will continue on in Christ. He opened a way for us to become. Don't get mad at me now. Some of you are going to get bowed up. You may even walk out the building, all right? But he made a way for you to be just like God. That's the facts, Jack. I like to joke around with people, you know, and when you say, how you doing? And they say, well, I'm doing good. I may be doing good, but I'm not good. But I am righteous. But not a righteousness of my own. I have not a makeover, made better righteousness. I actually have the righteousness of God. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. That we receive. So however righteous God is, I am in Christ. You got that? So you're not a worm, you're not an old sinner saved by grace, great old songs, you know, great ideas, but it's just not biblical, they're not true. What you are is a born again, redeemed, changed, made new, a new creation person in Christ Jesus, and you have his life dwelling within you. It's the only life that there is. And you have his righteousness, that's the only righteousness that there is. Come on now, you got it? See that? You know? Stop thinking like an old religious Pharisee and start thinking like a new creation, born-again believer in the New Testament. Who changed? What in the world do you think happened to Paul? Paul hated you. He hated Christians. He hated everyone. He was determined to prove how wonderful he was, how great Judaism was, how great his pedigree was. And God knocked him off his horse onto his derriere, and something happened to him. Why did Paul the murderer suddenly become Paul the evangelist? Because something happened to him. He was dead, and he was made alive. God the Father, through Christ, took residence within him. Oh! You see, what Adam wanted, he illegitimately lost. The devil said, you know, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. Well, he tried to steal that by doing something wrong. God said, don't eat of that tree. The devil said, when you do, you'll be like God. And Eve saw, whoo, stuff looks good, smells good, tastes good. And we know the rest of that story. But what they illegitimately lost, God legitimately gave to us in Christ. And you are today, as a born-again believer, like God. In fact, you are the DNA of God. If we could test the DNA in you spiritually, we'd say, wow, that's God. You know, people have spent a lot of money today sending off the ancestry.com. I resisted that. Because I would just be so upset if I found out that I was, you know, Japanese or something, you know. And not that I have anything against the Japanese, but I spent my whole life promoting the Italians. I mean, how wrong would that be? So I'm not getting that checked out. I'm going to my grave believing I'm Italian. That's it. But if you check my DNA, you'll find out that I got a long lineage of Italian guys. And I'm not so sure it's safe to go back to Italy. There's no telling what happened when Grandpa left there. He never went back. I'm just saying, I don't know. But if you could check my spiritual DNA, you'd see I was a child of God, that I have God's DNA residing within me, and so do you. So do you. That's what God did. That's what Jesus did. Boy, I tell you, I am going to kill myself. I'm not going to get through this sermon today unless I move on. All right, the second thing I want you to see, remember that Jesus showed up to give us eternal life. I've preached half of this already. Out of his fullness, we have all received... Oh, man, listen to this. You've never read this before. You read it, but you never understood it. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace. You got that? In place of grace already given. We have received grace in place of grace already given. Come on, you get ready. Get ready. You know where the grace was that was already given? The grace that was already given was the glory that was already given in the law. There was a measure of grace in it. If you could keep it, you could have all the wonderful things. Oh, go read Deuteronomy chapter 28. You keep it? These are Abraham's blessings to you if you keep this book, if you do these things, which we couldn't do. There was a glory there. But what happened? we have all received grace in place of the grace that was already given. For the law was given through Moses. That's that grace that we had. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ gave us overshadows the other. It makes it, it obliterates whatever glory was in it, that we see the full glory of God in Christ Jesus in us. This is New Testament living. This is New Testament teaching. Forget about the old things. How many times have I got to tell you? You cannot live under the law for several reasons. One, you're not a Jew. Why? Even read the book of Acts. The problem was the Gentiles were getting saved and the Jews wanted them to live under the law. They couldn't live under the law. There was a few proselytes they let in, but it was not a big deal, and there weren't very many of them. But if you wanted to be a true son of Abraham, you had to be born of the lineage of Abraham, and you were not. Don't go under the law. And Jesus ended the law for all who believe. So the law doesn't exist for Jew or Gentile who believe. Oh, but Brother Morris, what about the Ten Commandments? Well, I'm not living by the Ten Commandments. You know why? Because I can't keep them. Now, what I can do is I can compare me to you. And I can say, well, you know, I've never told a lie. But you have. So I can compare me to you. That's what the law allows me to do. I'm better than you. I've loved God with all my heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And I've loved my neighbor as myself. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You can't do it. It's impossible. It can't be done. And if you break any one of the laws, there's a small print at the bottom with an asterisk. See, Moses didn't show you the small print. I'm showing it to you. If you break one of them, you broke them all. And if you break them all, what happens to you? You die. That's what the law says. If you can find two or more witnesses, they kill you. That's exactly what the law said. So we're not under the law. We don't want to be under the law. Where we want to be is under grace. We want to be saved. So that when we do something wrong, that the grace of God has already taken care of it and removed it from us. And where there is no law, their sin is not, is a theological word, sin is not imputed to us. It's not accounted to us. Why, Morris, are you saying that if I tell a lie, I mean a really big lie, a really giant, deliberate, I thought about it for months, and I told that lie, and I can do that and get away with it? You could do a lot worse than that and get away with it with God. Now, you might suffer some consequences here, because if you lie to the FBI, you're going to jail. You don't believe that? Ask that lady who does all of that fancy pants stuff. What's her name? Yeah, Martha Stewart. You know what her crime was? Lied to the FBI. Go ask Edwin Edwards. You know why he went to jail? He lied to the FBI. Most of the time, all the people you see in jail in the political big realm, they don't go for the crime they committed. They go because they lied to the FBI. But God gives you a get-out-of-death card. Not a get-out-of-jail, but a get-out-of-death card. He gives you life in Christ, and he doesn't hold it against you. And somebody said, well, that's not fair. I sinned, and I want to pay for it. Well, I'm sorry. You're in Christ. You never have to pay for it. He paid for it for you. It's not your problem. It's his problem. Well, I can't believe it's that good. That's what it is. That's why it's called grace and not work for. Come on now. Y'all with me? Man. The law had a glory, but it was diminishing. Remember Moses? He had the veil over his face. I used to think he wore a veil because he didn't want people to see the glory of God. He didn't want them to see that the glory was fading. The law was a fading glory. But it was superseded by a greater glory. The law of grace replaced the law of sin and death. We receive grace in place of grace already given. In fact, the Greek word there where it says, it's only one word in Greek right here, where it says grace in place of grace right here. Grace in place of grace, in place. It means literally something in exchange for, something instead of, something in place of. So Let's say, and none of you in this room have done it, I know all of you are, but let's say you grew up in a nice little Christian home, a good little boy or girl, and you never did anything wrong. You were the model kid. You were in the dictionary under model kids, you know. But that's the kind of life you led, you know. You were really a good kid. No matter how good you weren't good enough to begin with, all right? But all that goodness is superseded by what God has done in Christ Jesus. You know the word that describes that best of all? Preaching a sermon on it. Some of you know it starts with an H. It is? Come on, Sherry. Humpaparatio, right. It's hyper. It's the word, two words in Greek. Humpa, which is a word we translate as hyper. And paratio is a word of abundance that you can't measure and you can't compare to. What God has done cannot be measured and it can't be compared to anything else. It is beyond the reason of man to even think what God has done for us. But we receive it by faith. And if you don't have to believe what I'm telling you. Well, go ahead and live in your, see how it's working for you. You get down in the mouth about yourself. You think there's no hope for you. You know, you've done one thing that God will never forgive you for. You know, you just go on and on and on. For me, I don't want to be a guppy in a guppy bowl. I want to be riding on the celebrity cruise line with the captain's cabin. I want to be eating steak every day. I want to be enjoying a cruise. And that's what happens when you get upon God's cruise ship of grace. All right. The love between the Father and the Son burst onto the earth, and we have peace instead of wrath, and we have, most important of all, we have life instead of death. Okay. The only place to get life, eternal life, is in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You know how I know that? Because that's what the Bible says. And the Bible is the inspired word of God. And that's what it says. Now, I'm a New Testament preacher. That's what I am. That's what I do. That's what I've been doing for the last 45 years. And I know what it says. There's a lot of stuff I don't know, but I know this. And I'm not moving off of this because it's all about Christ. It's who he is and what he has done for us. It's the grace that is imparted to us. It's the life that we receive. If I squeezed that little lamp, not even much of a carcass left, you know, kind of just little pieces of something. Didn't see his little lungs and his little hairy legs and, you know, his little ability to bite. It was a red ant, you know, and didn't see that. But let's suppose for a minute that God took that little ant and put in him just a teeny, 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 teeny piece of his DNA. Like, God will never die, right? I mean, we kind of got that figured out. And he put it in that little ant. Now that ant has God's life in him, what would happen if I tried to smash him again? He'd be so fast I couldn't get to him. He's moving all around the place. Can't get to that little booger. If I could get him and I tried to squeeze him, I'd find out he would just pop out of my fingers. I can't kill him. Why? Because he has God's life in him. Amen. Same thing happens to you, little ant, little guppy. You have God's life in you, and no one can take that life away because the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. That eternal life cannot be extinguished, not now, not when your body's in the grave, not through all eternity. For you to die, a born-again believer to die, God himself has to die, because that's the source of your life. It's like the leaves in the of a tree, the fruit of a tree. In order to kill that fruit and that fruit-bearing ability of that tree, you got to kill the tree. In the same way, you got to kill God to get rid of the eternal life you get in Christ. You better want to live forever, because you are. All right? There's no way out of this. All right, I got to move on because this is the fun part. That's not wasn't even fun. Remember that Jesus showed up to show off. Let's go back to this scripture again. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John the Baptizer sent a message to Jesus, and he said, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" And this is the message Jesus gave him. He said, "Go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached." And in the bottom of that, it's not in the Bible yet, but it says, "And so what else do you want me to do?" That was the message. What else do you want me to do to prove who I am? So, let me give you some proofs of Jesus just showing off. Part of this is me, part of it's the scripture, all right? He turned water into hundreds of gallons of perfect wine. This is what I think. I think Jesus looked over at Mary and said, I think he just gave her a thumbs up. Is that good enough, Mom? Is that good enough? He's just showing off. He didn't have to make that much wine. He could have just made a cupful. Give me a cup. You got a glass? You got a pitcher? And you know the story of what it does. It was hundreds of gallons of water. It was those big pots filled with water, turned them all into wine. And the wine steward says, "Whoa! Where did you get this from?" He was, once they're drunk, we give them the bad stuff. And you people who used to drink know what I'm talking about. You don't need the really good stuff. I mean, you get a buzz going, anything will do. He fed 1,000. I told you last week. He fed 1,000 with a kid's lunch. I can see Jesus standing there with the kid, and the kid going, "Holy cow!" And Jesus just saying, "It's fun." That's, you know, just my imagination. The blinded eyes became miracle eyes with spit and mud. You know what Jesus did? He went, "Ta-da!" That's just my impression. I just think he was proud of himself, what he had done. I mean, just think about it. I like to pray for people. I pray for people all the time. I have not got to the place yet where I'm willing to spit mud, rub mud on people. Probably wouldn't have. I don't have much of a church now. They'd be all gone. You know, you'd be leaving. "I don't want that mud on me." Yeah, there you go. Listen to this. Lazarus walks out of the tomb. I think this happened. I think Jesus looked at Mary and Martha and went, four days, how cool is that? He was dead for 4 days. He was in the grave longer than Jesus was. And he walked out. I think he was showing off. The frustrated fishermen, they come on the shore. He said, "Hey, boys, y'all caught any fish?" He said, "Nah, we fished all night. There ain't any fish out there. I'm a fisherman. I know what that's like." And Jesus said, "Go put your boat out again and put the net down on the other side." They did. You know the story. They couldn't bring in all the fish that they tried to get. And this is what Jesus said. "Hey, y'all want to go fishing with me?" "Well, of course I want to go fishing with you." He said, "I'll make you fishers of men." He was showing off, showing what he could do. Jesus finds his disciples in a boat in a storm. You ever been in a storm in a boat? I have. It's not a lot of fun. They're scared the tar out of you. If you don't know how to pray, you'll know how to pray when you get caught in a storm, when water's coming over the side of the boat and the waves are big, and especially if the motor starts to sputter. As long as you got power, you got a chance. If the engine goes out, you better know Davy Jones or somebody, because you're in trouble. Jesus says to Peter, in the midst of a storm, "Hey, Peter, you want to walk on water?" I mean, how crazy is that? How crazy is that? I got a feeling God the Father said, "Don't push it, Jesus." Hey, let's not get carried away down there on earth. I sent you there, but you're getting way out of line here. Oh, no. Oh, listen to this. It's time for the IRS to get paid. Jesus gets a fish, gets a coin out of him, pays the taxes. You know what he did? Ta-da! How cool is that? I mean, it was just an amazing thing to do. They kill Jesus. They nail him on a cross. They beat him. He dies. They bury him. They roll a stone in front of it. And he walks out on the first day of the week. You know what I think he said, first of all? For the devil and everybody else to hear? It's me again. I'm back. Here I am. Now listen, I'm being funny, but I'm being serious. God has the ability to show off. So here's my question. What do you need from the man of Galilee? I mean, that covered a whole basket of things, financial, physical, spiritual. What do you need? Ask God in faith, and maybe, just maybe, God will show off in your life. He's the God who can do it. He's the God who can do miracles that nobody else can do. He's the one who can change the course of the history of your life. He can do it. I've seen him do it before, and if he did it before, he can do it again. You know why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Jesus is and what he does and why he showed up. Why he showed up? To bring life to us. Don't be a dead man or a dead woman walking. Be alive in Christ. And just believe him. Just, what do you got to lose? To ask him for whatever you need and to believe that he can provide for you. Not according to your ability. The scriptures say, according to his riches and glory. Those riches are physical, they're emotional, they're spiritual, they're financial, all of those things are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Does that make you shout? Makes me shout. I mean, it's exciting. It is exciting to think about what God can do. See, we've been so busy telling people how bad they are, we forgot to tell them how good God is. And he's a good God. Whatever it is, if you got health problems, your family has health problems, you got financial problems, you know, you've got worry problems, you got depression problems, whatever your problems are, bring those problems to Jesus and let him take care of them according to his ability, not according to yours. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Is that it? Yeah. Now, next week, God willing, we're going to talk about, if you can believe I got any more to say, we're going to talk about what Jesus has accomplished for you. Accomplished for you. What has Jesus accomplished for you? That's next week. I haven't even scratched the surface. I mean, this is just the appetizer. We're going to get some into the main course next week. First of all, he brought us life. That's the most important thing. Now we're going to talk about some of the other things he did that makes you have life abundantly. Okay? Father, we thank you for the glory that surpasses the former glory, that replaces the former glory, the glory of knowing you. Knowing you. Jesus, knowing you, thank you, Lord, that we know you. Thank you for the life you've given to us. Father, let the hope of your life spring up within us. That throughout this day, and if you give us a tomorrow and a day after, for as many days as you give us, let us wake up in the morning with the hope of the new life given to us in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for what you've done and what you are doing and what you continue to do in us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have a special need, I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be up here.
My king is the king of the Jews.